You'll be speaking about Spring Lake and its watershed. What generally is the condition of the lake and its watershed right now?
Well, currently it is still listed by the Illinois EPA for an atrazine impairment and technically a phosphorus impairment. So what that means is it is above the state limits for atrazine and phosphorus. Doesn't mean that nothing's been occurring to address that. It just means that we haven't quite met our goals for getting it in line with the standard.
All right. And with that being the source of the city of Macomb's drinking water, I mean, I take it their water plant has things in place that would remove those chemicals.
Yes, exactly. It just means that the more of those chemicals they are, the more costly it is to treat the water.
And what is the source of those chemicals getting into the water?
We think that the phosphorus is likely coming from agricultural ground and fertilizers. And then the atrazine, and I guess don't quote me on this because I haven't officially reviewed the latest atrazine document, but I believe that's from herbicides and pesticides.
Okay. Is there something that can be done or is being done to try to prevent these chemicals from getting into the water?
Yeah, actually, there's quite a bit that has already been done, and that is currently being done. And we're going to talk about this, I guess, on Thursday, myself and Scott McConnell and then Cindy Moon and from the Soil Water Office and Greg Jackson, the district conservationist from the NRCS there as well. We've implemented soil and nutrient saving practices on crop ground adjacent to the lake to try and address some of the nutrient, phosphorus, and sediment issues and the atrazine issues. And then there are current agricultural programs through Greg Jackson and the NRCS to further address those through implementing additional conservation practices.
And when we say watershed, are we talking about all the I don't know, rivers, creeks, whatever that might feed into the lake?
Yes, everything that drains directly to the lake.
And how large?
Keep in mind with the atrazine and the phosphorus impairments, the standards or the limits of the state sets are very low, so attaining those are extremely difficult. Just to kind of, you know, add a footnote to all of this, you know, so it doesn't sound so bad. It's really not all that bad because there actually is, or at least we think there is, a lot of phosphorus that's just still in the lake historically, and I guess what I would call legacy phosphorus that just kind of gets churned up and shows up. But the standards, the state standards, the limits that they set for both of those constituents are really low, and so it's very difficult. Very few watersheds throughout the state have any way to actually meet those standards, no matter what you do in the watershed, just to kind of give you an idea of how difficult it is just to get within the standard.
Well, why are those standards so rigid?
It's because it's a public drinking supply, because it's a public water supply lake. Those the state standards that they set for certain areas are much more stringent for public water supplies, and those are, you know, namely lakes. Whereas in a stream, for example, that isn't a source of drinking water, those standards are either non-existent or a lot higher. I believe it's a public safety thing. I mean, it's a public health thing.
All right. So there's no cause for alarm with the condition of Spring Lake?
No, there isn't. I mean, there has been so much positive work done in the watershed. Back in the 80s, they did a ton of conservation work. You know, obviously farming practices have changed since then, but, you know, the recent grant that I'll be talking about on Thursday put up about $125,000 of additional practices on the ground and really close to the lake in those areas that deliver the nutrients and the sediment at high levels. And it, you know, it just may be something that's not quite showing up in the data yet because it takes time for that stuff to kind of move through the system. So no, I would say there's really no, even though it sounds bad, there's no case for alarm here.
Okay.
Things are improving. It's a lot better than it used to be. Things are improving. The producers in the watershed are doing all sorts of good things. They'd rather keep the sediment and the nutrients on their ground anyway. So people are actually doing that.
Right. That's in a way a lost revenue for farmers when it ends up in the lake instead of on their fields.
Yes, exactly.
Why would you tell someone to come out to the presentation Thursday night? What might they learn about Spring Lake and its watershed?
Well, I think one of the things they will learn will be kind of a history on what's happened in the watershed, so where it's at now, and then what's being done to address these impairments. And then the other thing that's that many folks may not have heard about is the talk that Scott McConnell is going to do on a sediment phosphorus study that he completed as part of the last grant that closed out in 2012, where him and a group of research scientists actually sampled soil on some of those fields that we were doing some of the work on to determine what the concentration of phosphorus is in that soil. That is something new that, you know, people may not have heard about, and actually it'll be quite an interesting talk.
All right. Anything you want to add about this?
The only thing I would like to add with that would be that to reiterate the fact that the producers in the watershed are doing a lot of positive things to improve water quality. The lake isn't as bad as the impairment data states. And then the third thing would be that the Soil Water Office in McDonough County there in Macomb and the Natural Resource Conservation Service of Cindy Moon and Greg Jackson are doing some really good things to keep implementing conservation of the watershed and further address any water quality issues. So I think those would be kind of the three takeaways with this.
All right. And Jeff, how is your last name pronounced?
Beckler.
All right. As if
I've heard it all. Beekler, Boeckler, you name it, I've heard it.
It's as if the O is not there, basically.
Yes.
Beckler.
Yeah, it's a German. It should be.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a German name kind of adjusted for the English language, right? So it doesn't look like it sounds kind of thing. But, I think it'll be an interesting kind of historical talk and then learning a few new things about what's been going on in the watershed. And then, some discussion, too, on what further we can further do to address some of these things. Then the atrazine impairment, like the phosphorus impairment, just to give a little bit of background, too, has been around for quite a while. It's nothing new. The atrazine impairment is something new only in the last couple years. And the Illinois EPA has actually been trying to address that through what's called a total maximum daily load plan. And that's probably something people have heard about. It was first done for the phosphorus impairment, and now it's been done for the atrazine impairment, which means that the watershed is on a list that puts them at the top of the list for funding opportunities. So that's another good thing that we're going to talk about, and another positive for the watershed. Even though it sounds bad in terms of water quality, to me it's really an opportunity, because now this means that funding can be directed to that watershed and you can receive the funding a lot easier. So that would be another good takeaway, actually.